Welcome to Therapy in 10, where Darcy and Hannah combine both their lived and professional experience to bring you a fresh take on mental health, tackling tough questions in just 10 minutes. Each episode is chock full of stories that will make you cry, laugh, and restore your faith. We're so glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome back to Therapy in 10. This is episode 5 of season 3, which is our faithful yet struggling season. And I'm Hannah, and I'm here with my friend Darcy.
Welcome, guys. I'm excited to get into this one today.
Yeah, today we're going to tackle the question, where is the good? So in regards to the fact that, you know, we have this head knowledge, right, that we know God's eventually going to work good out of all the bad things, right, that we've been through, that we are experiencing. We know in our head that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? Romans 8:28. But often it seems like we live most of our lives in like the space that's in between that, right? Like we're in between the trial and the eventual good. Like we're just waiting, and we're going to talk about that more in the next episode. But this is where our season theme of faithful yet struggling comes into play. So I have certainly been in that in between period a lot, and it can be very hard to keep the faith and not lose sight of what we know will eventually come to pass. God is the ultimate promise keeper. We know this about his character. We know that he is faithful. But again, sometimes we are in that period of like, okay, God, I know that something good is coming, but like, can it happen now? Cause like, I'm really ready for it. I've been waiting. I've been praying, you know? And so that's kind of what we're going to focus on today. Like, where is the good and how do we keep our focus on that?
So when I was listening to something the other day, I can't remember what it was exactly, but the lady said, I'm so tired of Christians trying to make it look easy, or Christians basically not admitting that it's hard, like that life is hard. Yeah. And, you know, when I started writing and when I started podcasting with you, I had made a promise to God that I would always be transparent. Like show the transparent Christian stories, because I don't want you guys to think that we're like, that what we're talking about is not what we are either applying or what we're truly going through, because it seems like the struggles just thing, you know, they just hit us hard and they seem to keep on punching for a little while. Then you get a little break. So that's where we're talking about this in-between period. You know, when I came out with this series, again, that we call Faithful Yet Struggling, I was in a pretty good place, maybe not a mountaintop, but a period of relative ease. You know, I didn't have any major family emergencies. Work was good. Just steady drum of regular days, you know.
Oh, the irony that God's like, oh, you want to do a season on Faithful Yet Struggling? Let me let you live that.
Yeah, he has like a really weird sense of humor. But anyway, I can certainly attest to that many different times. I'm like, oh, your sense of humor is... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
little evil sometimes, but I shouldn't say that, but you know what I mean. But I was leaning on what I had been through before, you know, a lot of long nights and days wondering if the good will come. What good could come out of hard situations when I was preparing for the series? And I think, like we were just saying, that God knew I would need these talks. We can call them pep talks, or better yet, truth talks, I guess, because since December, I've been through it. You know, our family's currently dealing with some hard things. And because of the past trials, though, and recalling the good that God has faithfully done for me over and over again, I remain faithful through this. And I have that base now where I won't let the bottom fall out when it comes to persevering, praying, hoping, and believing. Truly believing and knowing that good will come out of all this. The, you know, even as the birth pangs, as called throughout the Bible, are getting more intense for all of us as our days go by now. Just, you know, in the world in general, maybe not affected so much yourself, but you know what I mean? Everybody's paying more for eggs right now.
Yep.
You know, so we must truly dig our heels more into the steady ground that we stand on. And Hannah mentioned the other week that we will not be shaken, excuse me. And I love how this article on Desiring God talks about one of the Psalms that says, we will not be shaken or moved. There's quite a few verses that actually say that, say the word shaken. And I just wanted to read this. It was on Desiring God. And it says, genuine emotional confidence and security of soul is hard to find. I love that. Mm-hmm. Security of soul. If anything, that's the one thing we need to get secure. Everything else can be, you know, our heart, our mind, and our soul has to be secure. Everything else can be going crazy. Yeah. And it goes on to say, and it should not surprise us. After all, we are sinners surrounded by other sinners in a fallen and fragile world. How can any of us truly experience the deep peace and joy of authentic confidence in a world awash with facades of security? So in Psalm 16, we walk with King David, the short but significant path from fear to confidence, from instability to security, from anxiety to authentic lasting joy. He begins in distress with the plea, preserve me, O God. That's in Psalm 16:1. And then amazingly by verse 8, he declares with confidence, I shall not be shaken. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken, is what the verse 8 says completely. So he's not shaken because he's keeping his eyes on the Lord. That's the tip. That's the key right there. Mm-hmm. So how does, the article goes on to say, how does such a change of heart happen? Theology, rehearsing who God is for us can transform everything. Far from detached thought experiments and philosophical speculations, what we believe about God can be life and death for us today. It will make all the difference if we, like David, know God to be our reliable Savior, our sovereign Lord, and our greatest treasure. So guys, you know, David is the epitome of faithfulness. After all, he's called the man after God's own heart. He's also a sinner and has failed many times over. He showed fear, anguish, depression, and yet he seems to always circle around to praise. And I know, guys, that praise looks completely different in the midst of hard seasons, but trust, surrender, prayer, praise, and an expectant mind that God will pull us through is the only way that we can wait well.
Mm, that's so good. And I love the part where, and that we were talking about the Desiring God part, where it said, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. It immediately brought to mind the story of when Peter walked on the water, and how the waters were all like churning and there was this storm, and Jesus said, come to me. And Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But what happened is, as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, and he focused on the storm around him and the waters, the churning waters beneath him, he started to sink. It wasn't that walking on the water to Jesus made the storm go away. He could walk on the water because he has eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's like one of my favorite stories. And the symbolism of that is just like that, like, you're going to walk with me, but doesn't mean that the earthquakes aren't going to come. The storm's not going to happen. There's not going to be this like craziness happening all around you, but as long as your eyes are fixed on me, like, you will be above it and you will be steady. And so I just, that brought that to mind, and I'd love that reminder. But there are also just like so many stories in the Bible of people living in this in-between space that we've been talking about, right? Of just like waiting on this good. You know, I think about, just as a few examples, like the Israelites wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, for 40 years before they ever laid eyes on the promised land that God had promised to Abraham. I think about often the fact of like how many people died, like, that had been, you know, they had been just hanging on to that hope that like they would see the promised land, and then they never saw it in their lifetime because they died. I mean, in 40 years, surely, I mean, I'm sure plenty of people died. So it's like, but of course they got a much better promised land because, you know, they're in heaven with Jesus. But then I think, okay, 70 years in Babylonian captivity, right? So everybody talks about Jeremiah 29:11, that God says, you know, I've got plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I know the plans I have for you. In the verse, like, right before that, it says, basically, like, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. But I know the plans I have for you, right? Like, people forget that context of that verse. But so 70 years of captivity, again, plenty of people died, I'm sure. But all along, like, God never lost sight of his promises, and he still always kept the promise. You know, I think about the long time that Abraham and Sarah waited before they had their first child. It was a promise that God made, right? I think about how long Job waited and prayed for deliverance from all of his trials. And ultimately, how long the entire world awaited the arrival of the Messiah after hundreds and hundreds of years of prophecies, 400 years of silence, which I think also is not talked about a lot in between Malachi and when, you know, Matthew picks up when Jesus came. Like, there's 400 years of silence where God just, like, didn't speak. And, like, that's a lot of waiting and that's a lot of silence, right? But, like, it came to pass finally. And even now, I mean, ultimately, like, we are all living in the biggest in-between, which is waiting for the eventual culmination of all the promises of restoration and healing that God has made. They're going to come to pass when Jesus returns. I mean, in pretty much every scenario that I can imagine, God doesn't do things immediately, typically, or at least on, like, what we think the timeline should be, right? I mean, and certainly almost never when we want them, expect them, think is the best way, right? Like, he waited until Lazarus had already died before he arrived in order to raise him from the dead. And of course, disciples didn't understand that. But then, you know, I've written before too about how, like, the time that the disciples must have felt in between the time Jesus died and when he rose again, like, instead of feeling like it was 3 days, they probably felt like it was an actual eternity, right? Like, this in-between time where we hope and we pray and we trust, but we can't see it. And oftentimes we don't even realize it until much later, because sometimes it comes, the good that we're talking about often just comes in the form of growing our faith or making us a better person, right? For me personally, some of my hardest times have brought about good in me in the form of humility, like taking responsibility for my actions, learning to apologize, even if I have also been wronged. If something is making me more like Jesus, even if the circumstance itself isn't good, that's something good that God brought out of it, right? Like, it's not always that we're going to see the exact miracle, specific miracle that we're praying for, right? Like, and we've talked about this before about, like, and I know I've written in a blog myself about, like, how good, quote, good isn't always the world's definition of good, right? Like, yeah. People aren't always healed. You know, there's not always this, like, deliverance of certain things, but, like, there was always some sort of good, and it's always the best kind of good because it's God's version of good. And so I think that perspective is really important, you know, in thinking about this good quote, because it's not like, oh, okay, God, when am I going to get all the exact things that I'm praying for? Like, just be patient and I promise it'll come. Like, that's not what we're saying here, right? That it's good is God's good, which hopefully if, you know, we want that to be our own version of good, what we want as well. But, you know, we have fleshly desires too. So anyways, I think it's just good to keep that focus of, like, the Bible is full of, as usual, pertinent examples of people waiting for the good and the accounts of God's faithfulness. And I just love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. His good is not necessarily our good, like you said. He's not Santa Claus. I actually heard that quoted on Back Porch Theology the other day. It said, you know, they were talking about the God of the Old Testament, or God the Father. They were saying he's not a proud dictator, but he's not Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You know, there's a line in the sand. But regardless of that, you know, in the Bible, like Hannah was saying, and in real life today, everyone handles the in-between period, the waiting on this good a little differently. And next podcast, we're going to talk about how to handle that a little better, just from experience and stuff like that. But for me lately, this waiting period, this in-between that we call it, has looked a lot like tunnel vision. It kind of looks like me driving down the road and not being able to recall how I made it home. It's desperately wanting to hear God's voice or see a sign and hearing crickets. You know, it's trying to sing along to a song and having my voice crack as I'm crying and feeling anger rise up from the sorrow and me praying to push this fire down. And it's been a lot of long walks by myself while talking to God. And I think all we can do is just simply hang on sometimes. And I know we don't like to hear that, but, you know, that hanging on the hem of Jesus' garment, you know, we have to wait the course and remember all he's done for us in the past. I think that's the key. Remembering, you know, we talked about in another episode of how I think we only get better at this wait, this game of trials and tests and waiting and strong stay of faithfulness as we weather more storms, because we remember his good in our lives, what he's brought us through before. And the psalmist in Psalm 77 wrote words that I'm going to share with you today that I really feel today. And this psalm actually relates to the story of a man who experienced the seeming unresponsiveness of God to his prayers, and it drove him almost to the point of despair. And that's what I was talking about when I don't feel his overwhelming presence right now like I have before in my past. I know he's still there.
Yeah.
And I know he's working. But that's how this psalmist felt as well. But then he saw what was wrong and he changed and corrected his thinking and thus came at last to the place of trust, of peace, and of strength again. So it's kind of up to me to find that again, to find, to correct my thinking, to know that he's all around regardless of whether I see a sign or, you know, just hear from him, like really feel that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to share the psalm with you real quick. And it says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. And when I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing, and I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Mm-hmm. Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? And then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Mm-hmm. Guys, I am right here, smack dab in the middle, and not feeling this overwhelming presence of the Lord like I so badly crave, just like the psalmist. But I know, and I know without a doubt, that he is here always working on my behalf and that he cares and loves the people in my life that are hurting more than I ever could. And that he loves me with a love that transcends time, regardless of my emotions or actions. You know, he's right here and I take comfort in that. And guys, we will see the goodness here or in heaven. And I just want to close with Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Revelation 21, 1 is 4 is my one of my absolute favorite verses, and I know you've heard it before, but I'm going to say it to you again. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And my favorite part, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the older order of things has passed away. So I know sometimes we can't feel him, like we don't feel that heavy presence, but soon, I hope, he's going to be living with us. And we'll never not feel that presence whatsoever.
It's a good thing I haven't been talking in the last couple of minutes, because I'm like sitting over here like trying to not like cry like loudly. I'm with you, man. Like sometimes we're just in these periods of time, like when you I'm gonna try to repeat it without like crying, but like earlier whenever you mentioned like just literally hanging on to the hem of Jesus' garment, that is real. And it's just like Darcy was saying earlier, like we are not on here to try to act like we have all this figured out. We're just like trying to give you guys all this like great info because we're experts. Like we're in the trenches. Stuff is hard. The very beginning of this psalm, at night I stretched out untiring hands. This was me like 2 nights ago. I could not sleep. I was up for 2 hours. I like ended up like was in my living room, like pacing, praying, like just, all right, God, like, what is happening? What are you doing? And this is just such a good reminder of, like, it is intentional efforts to remember the deeds of the Lord, to remember the things that he's done for us, even when things seem just, like, so confusing and just so not what we think they should be. So, we are right here with you guys in this struggle, and hopefully we can all just encourage each other. But, yeah, I also... was so funny that you talked about Revelation and heaven. Like, I literally, I think it was almost last week or the week before, I wrote a whole blog post about heaven and just like how I just long for this God wiping every tear and the banquet that he's going to prepare for us and just the praise and joy and just no bad thing. I mean, I just like, I long for those days.
Absolutely. I think all of us do that are listening, certainly. You know, and like I said, this episode, Where's the Good, was more about just letting you guys know, whether it's from the Bible or whether just obviously us, you know, you're not alone in this. You're not, gosh, I can't talk today. Mm-hmm. You're not alone in this wait. You're not alone in the middle. There's a bunch of us going through it. And I know that doesn't make you feel any better, but in the Bible, it actually tells us that when we come through trials, we're supposed to use that compassion that we get from our trials to help comfort the next person
mm-hmm.
that's going to go through trials. So next week, though, we're going to take what we were talking about in this. So we're in this wait, in this middle. We're going to talk about a couple ways that we can, things we can do to wait well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how we wait well when all we want to do is get to the good part.
Yeah.
So, and that goes beyond praying for patience, because that's my number one thing every yeah, day that every I pray day. For. Yes. And hopefully next week I won't stutter as much. For some reason, I stuttered a lot on this one. But anyway, but guys, you know, if you're getting something out of these talks or you know somebody that needs to hear one of these, just tell a friend, please. And also follow us on our social pages, Facebook at Therapy and 10 and Instagram at Therapy_N_10. And until then, we hope you guys have a fabulous week.